China has a population of 1.3 billion, an economy that has quadrupled in the last quarter century, and a military that has both nuclear and conventional punch. Politically, economically, culturally, China is having a profound impact on its region, and that influence will only grow. Whatever becomes of China will not be confined to China. This week, on All Things Considered, we'll visit five of China's neighbors and gauge their reaction to the emerging colossus in their midst. Today, the view from Japan. Traditionally the number one Asian power, Japan has seen its economy stagnate over the last decade as China's has soared. NPR's Rob Gifford prepared this report on the mixed emotions the Japanese people feel toward China.
Here in a small factory in the town of Hitachi, not far from Tokyo, is the sound of what was the Japanese economic miracle. It was through factories like this one, pushing out parts for washing machines, that Japan developed into Asia's foremost industrial power. For other countries in Asia since the 1960s, it's simply been a game of catch-up. Nemoto Ko is the owner of the factory, and he proudly shows visitors around. He's a short, cheerful man, more open and frank than are many Japanese around foreigners. For decades, his factory has turned a profit, but now it's giving him problems. I don't even want to reduce the salaries of my workers, he says, but we'll need to lay off nearly half the workers if we don't find some new areas of business. The problems of his Japanese factory are not the whole picture, though, because recently he opened a factory in China, which is booming. He already has 450 workers there at the plant in Shanghai, and he's looking to expand. On the wall of his office is a map of China, and his upbeat assessment of business there contrasts sharply with his fears for the Japanese factory. Chinese workers earn one-tenth of the salary of the Japanese, he says, so it makes economic sense to move there. Nemoto's dilemma is one being faced by manufacturing nations across the world. China, with its cheap labor, is the obvious place to relocate factories. It's especially ironic for Japan, because the emerging China market is giving Japanese exporters a much-needed boost. Professor Noriko Hama of the Doshisha Business School in Kyoto says it's this dilemma that defines Japan's current attitude towards China.
Well, here again, I think this is why people are schizophrenic about China, that they see great opportunities in China. Indeed, China could possibly be a salvation for Japan in economic terms. It opens up a huge market for Japanese goods, for one thing. So yes, a savior, but a savior that is equally a threat in terms of cheaper and better goods flooding the Japanese market. So the savior is at once a threat, and this is the thing which really gets people emotional about China over here.
Part of the problem for the Japanese also seems to be that for so long during the Cold War, they were able to ignore China economically. Japan, allied with the US, was busy becoming the world's number two economy in the 1960s and 70s. China, meanwhile, was busy going backwards economically as it convulsed with Maoist revolution. Now, with China emerging from its communist cocoon, Japan's status as Asia's number one is already under threat. Japan, like everywhere else, is being flooded with cheap Chinese exports, and now even Chinese pop culture is starting to make inroads. The first breakthrough for a Chinese band in Japan's super-modern and US-influenced youth culture came last year in the shape of a 12-part all-women orchestra. Their sound is a form of updated traditional music, reflecting, some say, a continuing Japanese desire to associate China with the past and not with the future. But that's one band in a sea of American, European, and Japanese music. While it may represent an initial stirring of interest among Japan's youth, what's striking generally about the younger generation is that, unlike Japanese businessmen, they seem to have no interest in China whatever. Yuko Ozawa is 27 and works for a media organization in Tokyo.
I think many young Japanese people want to go to Shanghai because it's a developed city, and there must be a lot of shopping areas, but other than that, I mean, if you think of China, why do we want to go there? To buy fake brands like Louis Vuitton, Chanel, Christian Dior? I mean, we'd rather go to Europe or United States to buy a real ones. And I'm also concerned about the hygiene, because I hear toilets are not so clean.
But while the younger Japanese are fretting about the lack of good shopping and the state of Chinese toilets, many government officials are pondering slightly larger issues, such as the growth of the Chinese military. The bitter memory of the brutal Japanese occupation of China in World War II has clouded the relationship from the Chinese side, and the Japanese refusal to make proper amends, either verbally or financially, continues to irk the Chinese. But now, diplomatically and militarily, China's influence in Asia is growing. And some analysts believe the recent dispatch of Japanese troops to assist in the reconstruction of Iraq is intricately tied to Japan's growing fears of an emergent Chinese military.
I actually think it's impossible to see what Japan is doing with regard to Iraq except in the context of Japan-China relations.
David Laney, a Japan specialist at the University of Wisconsin, is currently a visiting researcher at the University of Tokyo. He says Japan is so concerned about the rise of China militarily that it might even change its pacifist post-war constitution. That defines the Japanese military only as self-defense forces and forbids them from being deployed abroad on anything other than humanitarian missions.
The Japanese government is clearly trying to reduce the political and constitutional constraints on the Japanese military, and the best way that they can think to do it is to have Japan behave responsibly in an international military setting. I think what they're trying to do by sending the troops to Iraq is to send a message to Asia and to Japanese citizens that the self-defense forces can be trusted. By doing that, I think that they're also trying to pave the way for an expansion of military force that can counter China in the long run.
The age-old rivalry between the two Asian powers is held in check for now. The U.S. military presence in Japan and South Korea helps dampen the possibility of an arms race. There's the North Korean nuclear issue, which all sides want to see resolved peacefully. And China is largely focused on domestic economic development for now, as it tries to make up for lost decades. But for many observers, it's clear that a shift in the center of gravity in Asia is already underway, and that the Japanese are only now starting to grasp that fact. Noriko Hama of the Doshisha Business School sees two reasons for Japanese hesitance.
There's been so much turmoil in modern-day Chinese history. You never know what's going to happen next. The whole thing may totally crumble. I think that is one aspect of the thing. And the other thing is a little bit more psychological, if you like. I think, again, well, almost a Japanese desire to see the Chinese fail, if you like. You know, there's this jealousy element which sort of pulls people back from really believing in the China phenomenon.
Observers frequently point out that Asia has never had a strong Japan and a strong China. Of all China's neighbors, Japan perhaps has the most to lose from China's rise. Whether the two can coexist peacefully in years to come will be something that shapes Asia and the world over the 21st century. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Tokyo.
Tomorrow, we continue our series on the rise of China as seen by its neighbors with a visit to Vietnam.